I'm going to read just part of the passage of John, because it's a long passage, and it's an encounter with Jesus. The woman at the well. It's about water, of course. Is that a well? And a woman comes and asks Jesus, or Jesus comes and asks for a drink. I'm going to begin probably, the message doesn't have the verses, so I think I'm probably going to start around verse 7 or so. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" His disciples had gone to the village to buy food for lunch. The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw with, and this well is deep, so how are you going to get this living water?" Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring within, gushing fountains of endless life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty, won't ever have to come back to this well again." Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. As is obvious, our focus today is water. Water covers about 70% of the earth's surface. About 65% of the adult human body consists of water. The necessity for human life. And have you ever thought about how much water and water-related references are used in idioms? For example, something that stimulates someone's appetite is said to make one's mouth water. If you're in trouble, you're in hot water. If you're out of an element, you're like a fish out of water. A past event is called water under the bridge. Something that is watered down may be less potent or effective. If you are sold down the river, you are betrayed. But if you are one who has been sent up the river, you've been confined to a penitentiary. If no experience is precisely the same, it is because a person never steps into the same river. If some circumstance is of no bother to you, it is like water off a duck's back. A stream of something can refer to a crowd of people passing or to heavy traffic. One can experience a stream of light or shed a stream of tears. In literature, a stream of consciousness refers to the recalling of thoughts and perceptions of a particular character. One often can see streamers of ribbon or paper set up as banners. An event that reflects a center of common activity or an idea or thought that reflects kind of the consensus is said to be mainstream. A source of knowledge can be likened to a fountain, a font of knowledge. Likewise, a well may indicate a source of information or that which accumulates. Thus, tears well up in our eyes. People often pool their resources, such as in the allocation of funds, or in order to conserve gasoline, they form a driving pool, a carpool. Heavy rain can be described as raining cats and dogs, while those in the midst of battle may experience bullets raining around them. Showers may indicate an abundant flow of something such as compliments, praise, or honor. Gifts are usually given in a bridal or baby shower. So water and water-related references, you could go on and on and on like I did, are part of our everyday conversation. And for good reason, life cannot exist without water. We know this reality. And this reality is especially felt in places of drought, say California or Texas, parts of Africa, but more so in places where supplies of water are scarce because of drought. Not because of drought, but because of geography and topography, where lack of access to water is a chronic condition. The preciousness of water was particularly felt by the people of biblical times, including the time in which Jesus lived, where water was often in short supply. Accordingly, the people lived commonly along the riverbanks and other bodies of water, or dug wells in order to provide a supply of available water for drinking and cleaning, as well as irrigation purposes, so as to ensure the fertility of the land. Now, PhD theses have been written on the theme of water in the Bible. So surely it is not only beyond my ken, but beyond our capacity this morning to delve too deeply into the subject. But even a cursory glance indicates the role of water, ranging from an agent of destruction or deliverance, depending on your perspective, in the flood, to a theme of salvation, as in baptism. If you were here earlier, perhaps you noticed the scrolling passages on the wall, all relating to water. Water is first mentioned in the first book of the Bible, almost the first verse. It's actually the second verse. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. And it is last mentioned in the last book of the Bible, the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, almost the last verse of the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, in Revelation 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let everyone who hears say, "Come," and let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. And in between, there are literally hundreds of references, hundreds to water, rivers, streams, and most of them, as you might suspect, as the words of the Bible come from people living in a land in which water was precious and often in short supply, the references have to do with renewal, refreshment, rebirth. And surely for Christians, the use of water in baptism as a symbol of rebirth, cleansing, and renewal is particularly potent. And it's not just related to the ancient time. Just think of the great movie kisses that happen when it's raining. They almost all stand in the storytelling of the movie as some cleansing or fulfillment or renewal or a new start. Indeed, water is the stuff of life. And however, though we here in America, in this part of New Jersey, take access to clean water for granted, water to drink, to cook with, in which to shower and bathe, to flush toilets, to water our lawns, to swim in, we know that such a luxury is not the case worldwide. Indeed, issues arising from lack of access to clean water and viable sanitation systems lead to disease, malnutrition, and death. Such an unfortunate reality is well documented. Of note, there are three things most of us here take for granted, which most of the world cannot do. Those things are take a shower. Secondly, get clean water from the tap. In fact, most of our communities annually produce a document that provides the analysis of the water that you have in your home that to let you know that it's safe to drink, etc. And finally, flush away yesterday's dinner. And just think about how much disease and suffering worldwide could be averted if more of the world had access to these three simple activities. The statistics, according to water.org, are significant. More than 3.4 million people die each year from water, sanitation, and hygiene-related causes. Nearly all deaths, 99%, occur in the developing world. Lack of access to clean water and sanitation kills children at a rate equivalent of a jumbo jet crashing every 4 hours. Of the 60 million people added to the world's towns and cities every year, most move to informal settlements, i.e. slums, with no sanitation facilities. The water and sanitation crisis claims more lives through disease than any war claims through guns. An American taking a 5-minute shower uses more water than the average person in a developing country uses for an entire day. Now, our Green Faith Initiative is not suggesting that you quit taking showers. At least I don't think so. But what we are suggesting, in fact, you have an insert in your bulletins with some of them. We'll be suggesting are practical ways our congregation and church can become intentional about being good stewards from an environmental standpoint. As we are called to be partners with God in being stewards of creation, stewardship, you see, becomes a discipleship issue. Some time ago, Teresa brought a little print with a hand-drawn whale on it with sayings all around it under the title, What the Ocean Teaches Us. Maybe some of you have seen it. And one of the teachings reads, one of the sentences or phrases reads, remember that what you do matters and that everything connects. Remember that what you do matters and everything connects. I think that's probably pretty good theology, and that it suggests that what we do here, what we do in our homes, in our stewardship of water, of energy, of the environment as a whole, does matter, and in some way connects us to people all around the world, even in developing countries where the effects of the lack of access to those three key activities is felt most acutely. One of the most dramatic and compelling encounters with Jesus centers around water at a well. Jesus is thirsty and asks a Samaritan woman for a drink of water, a drink of cool, refreshing, life-giving water. And she gives it to him, and in her exchange with Jesus, discovers the source of a water that quenches not only the thirst, but also the soul. Anyone who drinks of this water will not be thirsty again. This play on words reveals a truth about the Christian life, about life in general, I suspect. You see, as we align ourselves with God, as we fulfill God's command to be stewards of creation, when we understand that doing even things as simple as flushing with less water and stopping leaks and replacing a shower head can be acts of discipleship, not only do we become that living water to the world, but we find that living water welling up in our own lives, giving us meaning and purpose. Carolyn Gillette, in the hymn that we are about to sing, puts it this way, living water, God's own mercy, love abundant, freely poured. One a blessing for the body, one a blessing for the soul. Both are gifts of our Creator, gifts that help to make us whole. Friends, will you join us in helping to renew the face of the earth?